We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's the True Faith Newcastle United podcast. Newcastle 0, Manchester United 2. Bringing them to cup glory, and our wait continues. I'm Charlotte Robson, joined by Si Campbell, Ben Wade and Mark Cowley to talk you through a big day yesterday, a big weekend really, not the result we wanted, and where do we go from here? We'll try not to be relentlessly negative, I promise, don't worry, but we'll just get into it. Si, how are you feeling after that? And you've had a night to reflect now. How are you feeling?
Yeah, a night to reflect hasn't really changed my mood from yesterday, I'll be honest. So the promise of not being negative, I can't keep to it necessarily. But yeah, it was, I mean, for all the build-up, for all the excitement, for all the kind of the scenes in Trafalgar Square, the live events that we did, the trains down, and just the general build-up that has been the last few weeks, what a letdown of a day it was. And, you know, I'm not, I don't want to dig out the players too much. I don't think they weren't trying. So, you know, and the fact that we even got here, all of this is ahead of schedule, et cetera, et cetera. But the full performance and the kind of the way we gifted that game to Man United is still, I'm still struggling to deal with. I'm still struggling to accept that that's the best we could have done on the day. And Man United have walked away with a very, very easy 2-0 win without us really putting up much of a fight. So yeah, I'm still pretty downhearted by it. I know we'll pick ourselves up, and as soon as you start getting wins in the league again, it'll be easier to move on. But yeah, because we've had a bit of a naff run and this was the end of it, and now we've got Man City to play next, it's very hard to feel anything other than a bit despondent right now.
Yeah, I'm still gutted as well. It's just it just felt like it was a massive opportunity that we've just not done ourselves justice in, and that's the frustration, I think. And let's be honest, I mean, as Si says, like in the context of things, like it's way ahead of schedule. It's amazing that we've got to a cup final so quickly. People are completely 100% right to be saying like this is the start of a journey. It's like it's not the end of anything, like it maybe felt with before. But as an isolated game, it was just really, really disappointing to as you say, gift Man U kind of a cup where they've not had to play particularly great in. We didn't kind of, I don't feel like we had a proper go at them. And it was just, yeah, it was just a bit of a lackluster performance. We didn't really have a proper go until kind of the game was done at 2-0. And in the second half, yes, you can say things were better, but yeah, it's just a massive missed opportunity in it. It's just like, yeah, I just wish we'd showed up.
Yeah, Mark?
Feelings exactly the same as both Si and Ben, really. Even after a bad day's sleep, still feeling absolutely devastated. It's just been, as Si mentioned, it's been a great weekend, everything leading up to it, the shows that we did, just catching up with people, and yeah, the whole weekend itself in Trafalgar Square, and then yesterday, just the lead up to it was just all great. But yeah, the game itself, and I suppose like the approach, even at kind of 0-0, we're going to speak to more about that in the show, but it was just really disappointing and frustrating really watching that, and then the goals that they scored and how they did, and quite soft itself, and then getting like even a half time thinking this feels like it's over, it's really flat. what can we do? Say, are we going to go two? And we just, it didn't feel like that at all, really. So yeah, absolutely good. I mean, as Ben mentioned, it's started. People look at the positive, and it is started that journey where, yeah, quicker than we expected. We didn't expect to be here a year after the kind of takeover. So yeah, that's quicker than what we thought, to be honest. And we know it's not going to be the weight of like 99 and how long it took to get to the next final. And you think there's obviously some of these players who will not be part of this in the next time, and we'll have a better team and better bench and things like that. So yeah, the wait won't be as long. Take that as a positive.
Better not be.
What we're looking on 24 years.
24
years.
I don't think I'll still be alive in 24 years. So, please.
So yeah, like I say, as a whole, it's been a cracking week. It's just the game, the isolated one. It's just it's kind of one of them things you didn't want this weekend to end a bit. Yeah. We said that the start is like it's here now, and yeah, I say, just feel the same as last night. Absolutely good walking away from Wembley and how we've got beat there the way
yeah.
we did.
It's hard. A lot of people were saying, what are you going to do after the game? And it's so dependent on the game, isn't it? It's not even dependent necessarily on the result. Because if you bring a game to them and they just snatch it, like, you'd still kind of feel like celebrating. But God, we went for a pizza after the game last night and nobody said anything to each other. Everyone was just sat on their phone. Everyone was just like looking at it. It's really deflating.
I got back and had to get rid of a rotten carcass of a massive pig that was just rotting in my room because
we didn't actually record the first half of the show, so that is out
that
of context.
Oh well, that's gonna be really weird for people then, isn't it?
Ben on Friday night when we did our first live show, Ben said that we were gonna win 8-0 and he had a bet on it, and he'd had a hog roast gonna deliver to his room to celebrate. So that's the context there for
that's
everybody.
For that show.
Yeah, really necessary.
For the 60 people or whatever, 50 odd people that were there the other night, that's a little in joke for us.
Little callback.
But just on that, I was kind of like thinking, what am I going to do after we win this game? I'd win this game. Like, what's going to happen? And it's just like, then we just, like, say, lose and we go for a pizza and no one talked to each other. So that didn't really expect it.
It is gutting. And I'm trying really hard to not to stay positive about the game necessarily. The game itself didn't give us loads and loads to be positive about. It was, as Si said yesterday, sort of an extension of the form. You know, people saying form goes out the window for cup games. Well, it didn't. We remained in the form we've been in for the last few games, which is to say not being able to finish, not really creating a lot of chances. I actually think we regressed slightly yesterday and looked really nervous. I don't know if we got into our own heads a little bit because it has been so long, because it means so much to the fans. But I'm trying to see the positives. I think we are ahead of schedule. We are in a cup final. You know, a lot of us at the beginning of the season said top eight, decent cup run. Well, getting to a final is a fucking decent cup run. And
we're going to do that. We've got to final, as you're saying. We're going to get top eight, I'm sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I know that expectations get adjusted as the season goes on and we're class and things are going well. But I also think we do have to keep that perspective. We don't have the squad depth, and we'll talk about this in the rest of the show, in part two of the show, but like, we don't have the squad depth that like Man U have, where they can bring off a £100 million player and bring on an £80 million player. Like, that isn't an option. We brought Matt Ritchie on. Like, that's our bench option there. I think a little bit of perspective is needed. The players said they gave it their all. You've got to believe them. Bruno was crying. They're not happy. They're not coming away from that buzzing, are they?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think they're the same as us. They just, for whatever reason, it just didn't happen. And as I say, we'll go into it in more detail in the second part of the show. But there's lots to kind of go into, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. And we will be doing that on our Patreon this week. We'll be doing a bit more of an in-depth review where we look at the sort of tactical setup and how we managed in-game. So do join us there. We're on Patreon. We'll try and make sense of all of this. We'll try and see where we're going from here. It ranges from £3 to £8 a month for different levels of membership. Please do consider joining us there as we all hold hands and do group therapy and work out what next. But we will be back after these messages. If you don't want them, as I say, join us on Patreon.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events, the list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Part two of the show, and I think we have to talk about the game itself, I suppose, unfortunately. Si, where... really broad question here, and let's, and I'm sure we'll go on lots of tangents. Where was the game won and where was it lost for you?
My feelings on this haven't really changed. I've had a chance to, I've watched back the highlights. I've kind of tried to give the benefit of the doubt to some performances in there. But if you look back at our starting 11, I mean, I'm probably not worried about the subs. I think Isak did quite well when he came on. But if you look back at the starting 11, I can't pick any player out of that 11 that stood out and had a good game. I'm not saying everybody had a bad game. You know, there's some all right performances in there. Bruno was, you know, we'd missed him, and you saw what he could bring to the team. Defensively, at times we were okay. You know, Byrne didn't have a great game against Anthony, got done quite a few times. Botman and Cher for the first goal. I don't know who's meant to be marking Casemiro, but he just seems so free for that header. And yeah, I just thought Longstaff and Joe Linton were very ineffective first half. We were hemmed in, they were so deep, and we lost that game in midfield to Casemiro, who is good, and Fred, who isn't good. You know, we got dominated in midfield a little bit. I thought Miggy was anonymous. I thought Maximan was all right, but realistically, apart from the one shot he had in the first half at 0-0, didn't do much else, albeit Man United found it quite easy just to crowd him out and keep him quiet. Wilson was quiet all game. I was surprised he lasted 90 minutes, so I've basically listed the whole team there as having not played very well. And, you know, a cup final is a one-off game of football. There was a lot of that rhetoric of form goes out the window, and that it could have been the case. These lads could have pulled it out of the bag and put in a one-off unreal performance, because we've done it before in these big games, but it didn't happen. There was no big performances there. There was no... it was the opposite. It was nervousness. It was very... I don't want to say negative, but no one was trying anything. The passing was very slow. It was backwards. It was just worried about losing the ball, and that leads you to lose the ball more, and it leads you to just kind of give the ball away in silly positions instead of trying something, getting up the pitch and trying to make something happen. So, yeah, I just think we were the scared team there. We looked like a team that had not experienced a cup final for 24 years, which is true, but obviously that squad, very few of them have had that kind of big match experience. Man, you've got a few more heads in there who've experienced big games, experienced cup finals. They knew what they were doing. We didn't seem to know what we were doing.
I disagree with that a little bit. I think Maxi had Dallow on toast in the first half, hence he got a yellow card, he got hooked at half-time. Because they knew that was going to be an issue all game. So I think Maxi did all he could. You're right in terms of, obviously, he was isolated because we haven't got a natural left back. And it just made it kind of easier for them. And I just think we just didn't move the ball well enough. We were very slow, kind of getting the ball forward and putting a Man U back line that has been under pressure in a lot of games recently. We just didn't get at them at all. We said it I couldn't believe that we didn't press them at the start of the game. The whole kind of build up and every kind of preview we've done, especially talk about Man U, was we've talked about kind of how they play out from the back, and you can put them under pressure and they give away chances. We didn't do that in the first half, and it killed us. It was completely away from kind of the mindset and the performance that we've put in. So, like, our best performances that we've put in this season has been when we've been at teams and they've not been able to handle win because we've been all over them, and we just didn't do that. I guess that was because we were obviously concerned about the threat of Antony and Rashford on the wings and them kind of playing Weghorst and in that role. I mean, Weghorst, I thought, was winning a lot more headers than I thought he would. He actually brought the ball down a lot more than I thought he would. He kind of had a more impactful game than I kind of gave him credit for, which was frustrating. But I think you're right. Like, we probably gave them too much respect, I think, for once. Mm. And that's the frustration, was that we, as you say, in a one-off game, we should have put them under pressure. They were under pressure. Obviously, a lot's been said about the weights and all the rest of it, but that you don't spend the money they've have at this point and kind of settle for getting to finals. Like, when you've spent billions of pounds, and as you say, Shah, you've got 100 million pound players on the bench. Well, 80 million pound players on the bench.
What's 20 million between exactly. friends?
But you need to start delivering. So it was just such a missed opportunity. I think the kind of attacking play from Newcastle was just too slow at times. We down the right. I mean, we were getting to good positions. The kind of end product from both sides, I would say, actually just wasn't quite up to it. I mean, we had that chance in the first half, I think it's Trippier whips the ball across and there's nobody in the box to
Longstaff and then Maxi.
And then Maxi obviously has a kind of a shot at the back post, but that was a big opportunity in the context. So I'm not saying it was a great chance, but that was kind of the only big opportunity we had, and we fluffed it. And it was like, if that's all we've got to go on, then we cannot really kind of be saying, oh, well, we were class or all that sort of stuff. So, I'll not kind of say too much more at this point. I think it was just... I don't think anyone was terrible. I don't think anyone needs digging out for that. We just didn't put our A game out there, which was poor.
Yeah, I agree with Ben. I think it was the approach to the game, which I wasn't expecting it to happen, just because of what we've said in all our previews and how Man United have been. If I look at, like, Man United's last few games, for example, I didn't watch as much as Barcelona, but I know Barcelona took lead twice. But I look at the two games with Leeds and Leicester, like, both of them came out pretty quick and had chances. Man U give them chances, made mistakes, and Man U were lucky to kind of get away with beating Leicester 3-0 in the end, and Leeds as well, that they took 4 points when they probably shouldn't have. And I just thought how we've, probably not as much, I say recently, but how we've pressed them, how we press teams, how we get further at the pitch, but say Longstaff and Joel Linton were sitting pretty deep, and I was just expecting them to come out and do that, but it just didn't happen. Even at the game at Old Trafford, we did it, and we did it successfully in that first half especially, and it just didn't happen, did it? I mean, people have, I've just read in kind of a few social media, people saying Newcastle started brightly. I don't know, but like, it's marginally, maybe, like, it wasn't really much happening, was there? Man, you probably, I thought, looked a little bit dangerous when but there wasn't much happening, really. Yeah. Ghost had one, like, half chance, which he kind of mishit, really. But, and we had the better chance in that first kind of 20, 25 minutes, wasn't it, with Maxi, great piece of skill, and De Gea making that save, really. And then, obviously, them two goals at the time it did, and just a cheap free kick to give away. I was saying, not even the free kick, man, but I look back at it, definitely the free kick.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right, Casemiro gets in between, seeing Botman and Shaw, and obviously make it 1-0, and just the second goal as well. It's a bit unlucky as well, but I think the defendant let Weghorst run that far for sure, and not coming to press. He just backed off, and then Rashford made that run, and like I say, got a bit unlucky. Now, we were like carriers, man, voice, but looking back, I can't blame, I'm not. I mean, I was saying it. I was just
I was like, oh man, like I've made my whole personality a Karius fan this week and he's fucked that up. I don't think he did. I've looked at it now.
It was only Si that was giving him a heart. I was trying to stick up for him saying he's diving to try and save the Rashford shot.
And it deflects.
And it bounces up off Botman in the most... I mean, it's such a scuffed shot as well from Rashford.
It's crap.
I don't know how it kind of flies in with the bloody velocity and height that it does over Karius.
That is fortunate, but it's the way that he's so low to the ground. Like, Pope has much longer arms. He would have saved it. Because it's just like, it's the way he kind of pathetically limps his hands up. I get that he was going for the first shot. In real time, that's
so
difficult.
It's so quick though, isn't it?
It just looked a bit shite.
Green Street's right though, like the fact that Weghorst allowed to run for like 20 yards and then you could see it from a mile away, he was literally just looking for Rashford to make that run.
Yeah.
And it's like, how we didn't just take the ball off Weghorst, he's crap, man. Yeah. I know I've said he played better than he is, but he's crap. Yeah. Should have stopped that.
I thought, and probably still do think Karius could have done better, but by no means do I think that that game was lost by Lawrence Karius.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, he pulled off two great saves in the second, two good saves in the second half. I mean, one right at the end, but I guess the game was lost by then anyway. But yeah, I mean, then mind that it'd be 2-0 up, and I just felt, well, we're not going to score here.
Yeah.
Second half, we got in areas, final third, but okay, we didn't shoot enough, really.
Everybody was screaming, weren't they? Take a chance, take the shot.
But I don't know if it's just a case of you're in that final, you're in it's kind of like every little path now, we're losing 2-0, it's got to count, and it's kind of that nerves and like, right, if I don't make this path, should I shoot now? I don't know, it's just something like that. And mind it defended really well.
If he didn't get the memo, though,
I didn't. Actually, one of your shots was all right. One of them was
incredible. The first one,
yeah.
The second one,
the first one was terrible.
It was like the one that just like flew past the post. It was like I thought I was watching Roberto Carlos for a moment there. Not to be,
but Man United defended well. They were always going to be second half and just sitting further deep, and then it was a case of picking us off, which they nearly did. Probably could have like still scored another one right at the end, but yeah, they were just going to pick their time and do what they did in the second half, and it was just to break them down, which although Isak was positive and he come on and it did well, it just, yeah, he just never felt we were ever going to score in that game.
Yeah, agreed. And that has been our problem sort of up to for the past few games and up to this game. And it's, you know, Eddie Howe talked about that in the post-match comments that he made. He was like, that is a concern. We need to work that out. I didn't think Wilson was up to much yesterday. I don't think we'll see tons from him in the future necessarily for Newcastle United. Mm. But we're kind of, you know, you look at social media, you listen to the radio, you know, there's a lot of talk about this game because it was a cup final and all of that stuff. And I, for my sins, was up at 6 o'clock talking to Five Live this morning, and the Manchester United fan that they had on was very like generous about Newcastle. He was like, I thought they played really, really well, and it was like a good even match. I don't agree with him. I think we have a lot more to in us than what we performed yesterday. Do you think it was? Sorry, I think I know your answer, but I'm going to come to you anyway. Mm. Even and just bad luck, or just we just did not have it in us?
Nah, we've played much better than that this season on quite a few occasions. Even at Old Trafford, we gave them a better game. We created better chances, and yeah, we still ended up hanging on for a draw there. But yeah, we were. I think Carly said right before, we weren't the same team. There wasn't that kind of pressing. There wasn't that kind of you're really gonna have to play well to beat us. It was that they just had to carve out a few half chances, and they got away with it. I don't know what it was. I don't know what's happened to Newcastle in the last few weeks. I don't know if we the more and more we think about it, the World Cup has absolutely fucked us. Like the momentum we had going there, and we've never really hit the same heights. Yes, there's been some good performances in cup games, but it's a bit of a concern. But no, I don't agree. I think a lot of people have been very generous about our performance. And yeah, if you're old enough to remember the cup finals from the late 90s, it was better than that. You know, we actually turned up, and with the Maxi chance, could have gone a different way. And they were a little bit fortunate, because I don't think Man United have played particularly well either. You know, two sides underperformed there, and they just got a bit more of the rub of the green. But no, I that would suggest that we played really well and did everything we could do in that game.
And I just
don't think that we did. I think we've got more. I think a lot of those players will look at themselves this morning and think, I could have played better there. I'm capable of better than that. Like I said, I don't want to dig them out. You know, it's a very nervy occasion, and first cup final for most of them. You know, first big match like that. Mm. Wembley was a bizarre place. I want to say a little bit about the atmosphere, so I'm just going to do it.
Going ahead.
I think when you look at games this season, like Man City at home, Chelsea at home, Spurs away, those big occasions, the St. James's Park crowd or the away end has been a huge, huge part of that. We have had a 12th man, and a lot of the times last season, you know, when we were coming into these games against, like, I don't know, Leicester or West Ham, and it was a relegation 6-pointer, the crowd made a massive difference. I don't think that was the case yesterday, and I want to caveat this. I don't think that's a supporter's fault necessarily. I think the way that Wembley is, I talk about this a lot, but people didn't get enough drinks before the game. I think the fact that you had a queue for hours to get a pint, it took ages to get there. It took ages to get down Wembley Way. Like, you know, you've got this stupid stadium that's so far out the city, it takes ages for everyone to get there. By the time people have got to the stadium and got to their seats, I think that a little bit of that enthusiasm is drained. And I think that...
You're hungover.
Yeah, people are hungover, 100%. Well, those that went a bit too hard this weekend as well, might have been something to do with it. But I think the Newcastle end wasn't as raucous as it could have been. There's a lot of factors. It's a big open-plan stadium. It doesn't really lend itself to atmosphere. It's a big, beautiful, you know, new modern stadium. But I felt like the crowd was really kind of tamed,
yeah.
Tempered.
Definitely think there's more to say on that. I do. I'm going to track back slightly, like ASM doesn't. And and just because you mentioned that, in fact, you've all mentioned like coming out of the gates and not doing this high press and like, why didn't we put pressure on them? And somebody on our Patreon made quite an interesting comment, which is a guy called Brian said he felt that maybe with Pope out, Eddie Howe didn't feel confident playing that sort of higher line. What do you think about that?
I mean, I think, and I've said it before as well, probably, maybe, but also, I mean...
Probably, maybe.
Rashford and Antony, I think, is probably a bigger thing. I think Karius would have been capable of doing that if we wanted. I just think it was probably a risk we probably didn't want to take, and I think that's why we had Joe Linton and Longstaff so deep as well, because that was to kind of try and nullify those threats. And to be fair, for the most part, I mean, let's be honest, Antony, for all you're saying, Dan Byrne had a tough game. What did Antony do? Now, he's a glorified fidget spinner, as they call him. Like he did a couple of little tricks on the sideline, but it came to naught.
Yeah.
So, to be fair, Rashford, okay, scored the goal, but he didn't have kind of the impact that I was expecting.
Botman scored the goal.
Oh, you're right, yeah. There you go. So what did you do, Marcus? Now, I think we did kind of nullify them a bit, but it was at a cost of kind of completely killing our own kind of philosophy of getting up the pitch and putting pressure on. So, I mean, come back to kind of the original question, though. I mean, you look at De Gea, what has he had to do in that game? He's had a very, very comfortable game. It's probably the easiest game he's had all season. He's a keeper that's prone to mistakes. I mean, there was a couple in the second half where we did pressure him and he panicked and he kicked the ball back away and we just didn't kind of had the we just didn't have the ingenuity or kind of bit of creativity to kind of make those opportunities count. I mean, for me, the big one, set pieces. I mean, we've gone to shit with set pieces recently. Like, we're conceding a lot of goals from them. I mean, Liverpool conceded one from one of our own. Just the kind of delivery. I mean, I suppose that comes down to Trippier a bit. Hasn't been good enough at times, attacking wise. And then defensively, we've got into this bad habit of conceding from them. And I mean, that's three or four games now we've lost or drawn based on a set piece goal that we've conceded, and it's starting to become a bit of a worry. And you think back to start of the season. We're a massive team. Everyone was talking about kind of it's one of the big kind of positives for Newcastle is that they've got such a big team. I mean, we've got a 6'20" really left back, and no, there's hardly any like players under 6 foot, and yet teams are now starting to manage to score headers on us and stuff like that. So, I think there's a few things we need to kind of tighten up. And as you say, for that Casemiro goal, how Casemiro goes in. Get a free header, I do not know. And that you've got to kind of be asking questions of who's picking up who and they need to kind of be marking tighter. So we've got to tighten up the set pieces defensively. We've got to start getting better offensively with them as well in terms of the opportunities we had. We got in some great positions to deliver some good balls in and just didn't do it.
There were two, I think, really like noticeably bad corners from Trippier. Yeah. And again, like Si, I don't want to dig any of the players out. It was a big occasion. It was a difficult game. But There was a really low one, and then there was that sort of short ball, and then it went right out. We were talking about that, weren't
we? Yeah, the 1-2 from Trippier at the Botman, the longest 1-2 you could ever.
It's like they were trying to set up a new song, like Trippier out of Botman, Botman back out of Trippier.
Like, that'll catch on next game, Ben, hopefully.
Well, it won't, because we didn't fucking score, did we?
But, I mean, sometimes they're trying something different, wouldn't it? Taking the short corner, and again, it just didn't work a couple of times. It's been set pieces for a little while. It's been the same, hasn't it? I mean, last week it seemed to be an improvement. We actually did have a couple of chances. Obviously, Burns should have scored the header, and you thought, right, a bit better this week. But, yeah, just... these are chances, and it's like hitting the front man a couple of times when you're 2-0 down in the second half when you've like, well, get him, we've got a corner. It's like, oh, I've got a corner. It's not even like, it just feels like it's deliveries are not, haven't been good. And they're trying, which, sorry, I'm going to, moments where Man United, like that moment where they put in the cross and they scored from it to take the lead 1-0, these moments didn't. You could say, not bad luck. I mean, the second one, a little bit on the deflection, obviously, but the Man United, I guess, have took the kind of moments, the big moments, and obviously been, I say, ruthless in it, but it's got them where they weren't.
They've
too.
Just taken really, the opportunity, yeah, where we didn't. Yeah.
Exactly it. So, yeah, just and being 2-0 down, it was always going to be tough to come back from.
Very frustrating. Very frustrating. I had a point there, but I've forgotten it. So I'll move us back to the sort of conversation that Si started there, and then I diverted. But about the crowd, really, it's a very weird one because it's 33,000 Newcastle fans, but you are kind of really spread out over two tiers, and then it's a big stadium. So it's very hard. I think there were 82,000 people there yesterday in total. And it's hard to get the atmosphere going. War Flags did a great job of turning that entire side into a sea of black and white stripes before the game. And you saw that kind of defiantly being happening again towards the end of the game and sort of from the 88th minute when it was very clear nothing was going to happen for us yesterday. But in terms of crowd noise, I spoke to my mum yesterday when I came away from the pizza. I rang home because my dad didn't come down for it. So said I'd decompress with him a little bit. My mum was like, well, I listened on the radio and I have to say the fans were like the incredible. And I was like, maybe you were hearing the Man U fans because, and I don't want it, and we're not taking anyone out and I'm not taking the fans out because these people made an effort to come down and see this game, and the whole weekend's been, London's been full of you. Everywhere you go in central London, you hear like "Tell Me Ma" or like, so, or like we've got Bruno in the middle. So it's been amazing, but I think the fans were nervous. Yeah. I think the fans were nervous yesterday, and I think as we didn't come out of the gates, like we didn't bolt out of the gates and really press them straight away. I think fans have seen how we've been playing over the last few games. And started thinking like, oh shit, like what's going to happen here? First cup final in 24 years, I get it. But I don't know, Ben, what was your sort of impression where you were?
I mean, round us, yeah, it probably wasn't as raucous as I thought. I mean, I guess that comes from the get. I mean, it's obviously obvious, but we didn't have a huge amount to get excited about on the pitch, unfortunately. And then obviously they score two in the first half. It does deflate it, but I think Si, kind of what he touched on before, was a little bit correct in terms of I've seen like more raucous atmospheres at like lesser games. Do you know what I mean? And that's kind of the thing that just surprised me a little bit, was just that it wasn't kind of as intimidating, and kind of I don't think we as a fan base used our voice at the right times. I think. Yeah, I've heard a lot of people kind of praising that that kind of rallying cry at the end and we did it against Man City. That was kind of the first big one, wasn't it? That home defeat to Man City 4-0. I think it was last season, wasn't it? Where we had that kind of for the last like 15-20 minutes, whatever that game.
Yeah.
Had that massive kind of atmosphere, and that was class. And we did it again. I think it's not a negative. Like it's meant that we kind of. It's shown that we're still with the lads. We're still kind of back in, and this isn't anything. But I kind of felt like, where was this like from minute one?
Yeah.
We should have been that for 90 minutes. And I don't know. I as I say, I'm not going to criticise people that were like, that probably you're right. I think nerves kind of came into it. I've heard a lot of people saying that it was a great atmosphere and stuff. But I just feel like we could have maybe given the players a bit of a lift. We could have got them into the game a bit more by lifting them rather than them having to lift us. And it's just one of those things. It just feels like, again, another missed opportunity.
That was a point I wanted to make earlier about those games like Chelsea and Man City. Like, we played much better because there was an energy there, and the pressing happens more when the whole crowd's like willing it on. I didn't feel like we got that. It was all right at the start, pre-match, like you say, the flags are brilliant and everyone was up for it, you know, cup final. But I think we're also not used to going behind and we didn't know what to do. Like, the sucker punch goal and then another one was like 6-7 minutes later.
Yeah.
Absolutely killed the crowd in that sense. I do think that it was difficult to get, because it was massive queues to get in the stadium as well. I mean, we were lucky, Mark. We walked straight in, but all the other turnstiles seem to have huge queues. So again, that's people waiting, getting a bit frustrated and rushing to their seats and stuff. I also think that, and this is something the club are going to have to look at, is that the way the tickets were allocated, there was about six of us in our group who were all spread out. Like, people weren't with their mates because of the way the tickets were allocated by groups. So everyone was spread out in amongst corporate people, in amongst like players, friends and families and stuff. For a good singing crowd, you need everyone who normally sits together and sings together to be together, but everyone was scattered across that stand amongst people who don't normally sit and sing, people who've got corporate tickets, people who just want to sit and watch the match. So there's a lot of factors as to why you didn't get as much of a singing crowd from Newcastle. So the atmosphere wasn't bad, it just wasn't what it could be and wasn't what I thought it would be for us in a cup final. And I think that we lost something on the pitch because of it, because it does really help the players. And they talk about it all the time, Newcastle players, about how the crowd really energised them, and we didn't really give them that. And that's, like you say, Charlotte, it's not a criticism. I think there's a lot of factors that led to that being the case, but it's another thing that just leaves me feeling a little bit disappointed about the occasion, because we couldn't add that voice to the game.
It's interesting you say that about, like, tickets being allocated and people not being with their friends and not being with the singing bit, because I know Alex isn't here today to podcast with us, but he was in that safe standing bit behind the goal, and you could select those tickets, and he said when he selected that ticket, you know, in that sort of first bucket or whatever, it was almost sold out. And you'd think the people in those parts are like eligible because they've got the loyalty points on their season tickets and X, Y and Z, and B, they want to be in that safe standing zone because they want to create the atmosphere. But he said even there it was quiet, and I think you're right. I think, you know, getting into the stadium, you've got to get to Wembley's not close to anything good, so you have to go somewhere else. You spend 45 minutes on the tube or on a taxi getting over there, and then you get in, and then the team doesn't come out guns blazing, and it's difficult. So it was a weird one. And I think Mark, I'm gonna bring you in.
Yeah, I mean, I can't add much further to kind of what they've said there, really. You do need, I mean, away grounds, when you go, it's usually got like that 3,000 together in a compact space where noise is easily more generated, isn't it? Because everyone's pretty much who's going to that game is going to be singing. Well, you've got a little bit different at Wembley, and it's hard when you haven't even got that one part of that generating noise to kind of spread out the crowd. It just didn't happen. And everyone who's probably normally singing is kind of spread out differently, like around the ground. So it's hard when you've got, like, say, 30,000 to kind of do that, really. But I mean, it was class at the start. The flags brilliant. The start of the atmosphere, it's been like all weekend, it's been great around London, really. But yeah, just when you do go behind and then it's 2-0, I feel like a lot of people just thought this is kind of game over. And it's kind of hard to come back from that and to obviously start kind of singing. But we needed that, and we needed that earlier when it was great at the end. But we were staying together myself. Where was this? Even like 20 minutes ago, where still even 2-0
in the game.
Yeah, still in the game-ish. I mean, if we get what, one goal back, do you know what I mean? Which can happen and can turn around, but we just needed that kind of a little bit earlier, to be honest. But yeah, it was, like I say, it was a bit strange, which I wasn't expecting the atmosphere to be quite like. But yeah,
it's a funny one, isn't it? I mean, I've seen a lot of stuff from friends saying, like, we did ourselves prior, an amazing atmosphere and stuff. So I kind of wonder, like, you obviously, as I think you've already alluded to, you kind of lose a bit of that. Like, you only see what's around you, don't you?
Yeah, true.
I did hear kind of pockets up to the right. So I was with Alex in that kind of middle section, and it didn't seem that raucous. But then you could hear kind of noise from other places of the ground. And I suppose you're right, kind of, Si, in terms of it's just such a massive stadium.
Yeah.
that, and it's hard to kind of coordinate all their kind of singing together.
We're not used to it either.
Bricked up, yeah.
But it is nervousness though. Yeah. I've seen it happen, like big game, and
it's it already at the Southampton, the second leg of the Southampton final at home, when they scored, even though we were technically two goals up.
Yeah.
The crowd got nervous. They weren't quiet. So, yeah.
I mean, we were, I just don't know, Newcastle game, but we'll save the Euro final. Alex were at, and it was really good at the start, and then obviously we scored, and then you're kind of waiting for Italy. It was just really nervous crowd. I know it's not Newcastle crowd, I'm not saying, but this is the final, you know what I mean? And it just happens in finals where people are nervous. And it's
a lot at stake.
Yeah.
So, we'll finish the show on where do we go from here? Like, what next? Much has been said by the ownership on social media, by the club itself on social media, by others. We'll be back, and next time we'll win. I think Alex sort of, I don't want to speak for him, but sort of was like, well, what does that mean? What, like, why would we be back and win? Like, what's going to change? But I think, you know, to sort of hark back to the beginning of this podcast, we are a bit ahead of schedule and there is still loads of work to be done. And I think that was it's been exposed over the last few games, but it was exposed yesterday. There's still work to be done. There's still strength to be added to this squad. Ben, I'll bring you in. What's next? Where do we go from here?
I mean, it's on the league, obviously. Well, obviously Man City if we go to, and if we've got a hell of a challenge there. We've got to try and fight for this top four. Obviously we've, The other game that was going on that day, unfortunately, didn't go our way. Spurs won, so they've got a little point, 4-point cushion on me now. But we've got two games in hand, and do you know what? There's still a lot to play for this season. I think we probably need to have a kind of a little look at ourselves in terms of, obviously, the goals have dried up a bit. We need to work out why is that happening. I think we were a little bit predictable in terms of our style of play yesterday, and I think we've talked about this before. But maybe it's getting a little bit predictable in terms of how we're trying to break teams down. I think Wilson's been a little bit ineffectual in the games he's played, and I know he's kind of had his problems since the World Cup, and just maybe hasn't looked at his best. But we, as I say, we've still got a lot to look forward to. I think how we'll kind of look at this and kind of look at this stretch of games, and we'll need to come up with some kind of new, fresh ideas. I think we've got some players to come in. Anthony Gordon, obviously, is the new signing. Hasn't really had his opportunity yet. You hope he comes in. Isak's come back, and we said, had a good second half. I think he probably comes in and plays a bigger role in the second half of the season. I mean, let's be honest. Like, we've only lost by two goals. It's not like we've been absolutely blown out of the water. We play very tight games, and because of that, and we talked about the moments before, it's very fine margins between winning, losing and drawing games. And as I say, if we can cut out the set piece goals that we're conceding, a lot of the results that we've had recently are kind of aren't as bad, and we've probably picked up a lot more points in that run of games. So I think there's just a few things to tighten up defensively, get back to that solid kind of foundation, and being horrible to play against. I mean, that was the big thing, wasn't it, that Ten Hag spoke about pre-game, was these guys are annoying. I don't think we were annoying enough yesterday. Yeah. Let's get back to that. Let's be the horrible bastards that we've been all season. And then we'll, as I say, like, through that frustration and kind of frustrating teams, they'll make mistakes, and that's where we'll get our opportunities. But we're still a good team. We've still got a lot to play for, and I've still got 100% faith and trust in this coaching staff and group of players to kind of build on this and not make it a wasted kind of opportunity, and we'll go on to bigger and better things from here.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we've got to remain positive. It hasn't happened on the day, but I don't think Eddie Howe or those players have lost the crowd or anything like that. You know, I think there'll be a good atmosphere at Man City, a good atmosphere at St James's Park against Wolves, I think, the week after, or I don't know if there's a break, but anyway, that's the next home game. And I'm sure that the players will want to give us a performance as well to kind of to make up for this that normally happens. I think the question now has to be asked of Eddie Howe as to whether this picking the same team every game is the way forward. Teams have worked us out. You can't deny it anymore. I don't think it's necessarily about dropping players. It's about using the squad. It's about retaining it. We've got pretty much everyone fit. Bob Pope, obviously, with his ban, but The likes of Wilson looks like he needs a break. Isak was good when he came on. Let's just see what he's like up front. Gordon, we've bought him for 40 million. Let's get him in the team. Let's see what he can do. Let's rotate some of those other players. Let's try things, something different. Maybe the three midfielders stop working. Maybe we need to just take a risk. Maybe not away at Man City, but at home to Wolves. Maybe we can try 4-2-3-1 with some more attacking threat, because we need to find goals. As you said, Ben, that's the question that needs answering, and we haven't answered it. So I think it's time to start using that word rotate, not drop players, but to change things, because we're becoming predictable. And I thought yesterday's performance was very predictable. Man City's a free hit to an extent. You know, it's going to be very hard. They're hitting form as well at the moment. But then we play Wolves at home. I think Forest away next. You know, we need to win both those games to have any chance of keeping that top four battle on. And that's all we've got to play for now is can we get in the Champions League? Europa would be fine. We'd all be pleased with that. But Champions League is still possible. You know, our fixture list isn't that bad. There's some tough games in there. Man United need to come up here. West Ham away. That was a tough game at home. But I honestly think that the players have got to strive for that now. That's what we're playing for. If we can finish fourth and say, yeah, we didn't turn up in the cup final, we lost that, but we've managed to get in the Champions League, that's an unbelievable season, and that's got to be what the aim is now.
Totally agree. And I think we'll leave it there if Mark has nothing. Nope, he doesn't. We're good.
Well, no, that's good. I was pretty much going to agree with them. But like I say, it's 15 games left to play now, I think it's probably going to cut out us as Spurs in terms of fourth and two games in hand we have. But there's going to be things that need freshen up, and like Isak's one of them, where he's going to hopefully have a big part in this last 15. Get Gordon in, absolutely. Bruno's back now, obviously back into the boost. Now Pope's back as well. Get in.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of kind of positive. Everyone will still be right behind the lads.
Yeah, absolutely. The league has to be the focus now. I think we've got plenty to within our squad to finish somewhere pretty high. I'm pretty sure we can finish fourth if we apply ourselves. Mm. We'll leave it there. We are, as ever, on Patreon. Please do come and join us. Between £3 and £8 a month for absolutely loads of content. As I say, we'll be dissecting the game and then looking forward to the Man City game with a full preview and opposition view and all of that good stuff. So do consider joining us there. Thanks to everybody for listening. Thanks you guys for joining me this morning. We'll be back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.